Hey, this is Josh Bogert, and you're listening to Music's Journey Podcast with my friend Kim Sear.
Cause the sunrise feels so cold, and now I'm driving home so slow. But in my dreams, you're still getting ready in my bathroom mirror. In my dreams, you're still holding my hand on my 6 feet. Cause I can't believe that you had to go, and I'm all alone until I'm falling back to sleep.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single Dreams by pop artist, singer, songwriter, and actor Josh Bogert. In addition to his music career, Josh is an established actor who is known for his lead role as Miles Lennox in the Disney Netflix Family Channel original series Backstage. At 21 years old, Josh is an accomplished independent singer-songwriter, producer, engineer, and actor who has already garnered an impressive 7.7 million career streams to date and over 1 million views on YouTube. Here to talk about his brand new single is pop artist Josh Bogert. Hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations on your music career and your acting. Man, you are killing it out there right now.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it's been a journey, but yeah, I mean it's been very fun, and I'm happy that I'm busy.
I bet, especially after the last 2 years, right? It's just been
100%.
Yeah, because you're so used to doing like 300 shows. You know,
yeah, I played a lot of shows, and I mean, even traveling for writing, songwriting and all that stuff, it just like all shut down. So it's nice to be getting back to it.
Yeah, and getting out there and playing some live music again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's go back to the beginning, if you don't mind, just so some of our listeners, you know, that may not be aware of your music journey. Let's just talk about your influences with music growing up.
Yeah, so I started playing violin at the age of 4. My parents put me in lessons, both me and my brother. Mm-hmm. And I studied classical violin for 7 years. And, you know, that was kind of the foundation of my love for music, along with just, you know, having music around me all the time. Like when we were in the car, listening to the radio and playing music, and we had CDs that we would put on at home, just in the living room and all that stuff. So yeah, just like I grew up learning to relate to the world through songs. Mm. And then that just grew further and further into a real passion and a desire to be an artist. And I made that choice at, you know, 12 years old, and it's been what I've been working towards since then.
Is there an artist that you connected with that made you want to pursue music? Was there someone special for you?
This is an interesting question, actually. There's a lot of artists that have definitely inspired me along the way, and a lot of different, you know, a lot of different areas of music, like from classical to jazz to electronic, and all of these different kind of things that I've trained in, both formally and informally, that have gotten me to where I am. But one of the artists that inspired me to start writing my own songs, because I knew I wanted to be an artist, but I didn't really realize the power of songwriting until I started listening to an artist named Andrew Allen.
Mm.
And he's a local artist from BC. He lives in Vernon. And what's cool about this is I started listening to him at age 13. I started writing my own songs. He kind of inspired me to start doing that. And just this year, I produced and wrote a bunch of the songs and produced all of the songs on his latest album.
That's why we were talking about you so much when I had him on the show.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome. He is so talented, really talented.
He's so talented. And I love working with him. He's an incredible songwriter. Which is why I'm happy that, I mean, some of the songs that I'm putting out now were written with him.
Nice.
I wrote a bunch of the songs on his album with him, and he's just so fun to work with as well.
I can see the two of you, absolutely, with both your styles blending
yeah.
so well when it comes to writing. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, we work very well together, for sure.
He's a sweetheart. I love him through and through. He's just such a good, really great guy, great role model, you know, for artists out there. Same with you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Now, your brother, both you and your brother, you both compose. Mm-hmm. You play instruments. How many instruments do you play?
I don't know exactly. I play guitar mostly. That's kind of my main instrument other than vocals. And then I can play drums, keys a little bit, drums more so. And then I played saxophone all through high school. I played violin at one point. If I picked it up right now, it sounds terrible. But but yeah, so it's like I can play some of them. I mean, guitar, I play all the time. But the rest, it's like I don't play them as much anymore because a lot of what I do is digital. It's mm-hmm. in my computer. I'm composing everything using software, and audio engineering and synthesis and all that stuff. So that's really my bread and butter now. But I can still, you know, make my way around a keyboard and a drum kit and all that stuff.
Do you and your brother listen and help each other, like sounding boards to when you guys are producing your own?
Absolutely. I mean, just 2 days ago, my brother came to me and was like, hey, can you just like go over my mix for, he was doing a remix of old house track. And he's more kind of in the EDM vein. And so anyways, he brought his computer into my studio and we kind of just sat down and I mean, and I said to him, like, it's very close, but there were just a few things that I heard that, you know, when you're sitting yourself in a session for so long, you start to not really recognize certain things because mm-hmm. it's your own song, right? You're too close to it mm-hmm. at that point. And same goes, like every time I finish something, I'll play it for him and go like, hey, what do you hear? And so it's super helpful to have that kind of soundboard, no pun intended, to bounce things off of.
Exactly. Well, that's pretty amazing, you know, to be able to have somebody in your corner like that that you trust and happens to be a family member. Man, you guys are talented.
Ah, thank you.
Really, yeah, really talented.
It's definitely a plus to have someone like that so close.
When did you start going towards the engineering and that side of the production for things?
It's been a long process because basically, as soon as I started writing music, I wanted to have recordings of it. I was like, I want to be able to have this as a recording and play it for people, and send it off. And, you know, so I started recording very simple, you know, like they sounded terrible, but it was basically just my vocals and a guitar, one take, through like a free software that mm-hmm. I downloaded. And I used like a Guitar Hero microphone that I could plug right into the computer. So it was definitely from there that I loved having that physical copy of the song. And cool. I kept, you know, just discovering new things and learning how to make them better and learning how the process went based on just the internet and things I heard about recording. And it's turned into now I
produce passion.
And mix and master all of my own songs, and I also do that for other artists.
It's so cool with digital right now, because when you're taking different genres and adding just mm-hmm. different sounds that we were not capable of doing, you know, years mm-hmm. and years ago, but now it's just like everything is just right at the palm of your hand anytime you want it. No, which is really cool.
Exactly. And I mean, like, I'm fortunate to have started by learning how to play the instruments. When I started recording too, like I got to the point where I was doing full recordings, but I didn't have any digital instruments, just based on the program that I was using. I recorded my drum kit. I recorded guitars. I recorded the bass. I recorded everything, with microphones. Mm-hmm. And that was a good kind of starting point so that when I went to, you know, digital production, I understand the theory behind how those virtual instruments were created, especially if they're made to replicate real sounding instruments. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, being able to combine both sides, like taking classical and jazz training and training from recording acoustic instruments, and then pairing that with also training in electronic genres where everything is synthesized, and kind of putting that together, I think it helps create the sound that I have.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's so interesting when you're listening to it from an engineer's point of view and mm-hmm. that production, because you'll hear things, like you said, for your brother that you normally wouldn't mm-hmm. hear, or he wouldn't hear, and vice versa. Totally. And mm-hmm. he knows your capability, and just being able to push each other and
exactly.
out of your yeah. comfort zones and what you can and cannot do. And as you evolve, you know, in this business, when it comes to the music end of it, you're going to change and change and change. And that's the beauty of music.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, when I started making music, I like when I started performing, I with my guitar and singing, I wanted to be a country artist.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. I did, yeah, because that's what I grew up on. When we were in the car, it was JRFM, country music, and that's what I grew up on. So I wanted to be Brad Paisley. My first guitar nice. was a Telecaster, which is the kind of guitar that he plays. And so so that was where I started. And, you know, then I became a fan of Ed Sheeran, and that got me a bit more into pop music. But again, so the acoustic side. Mm-hmm. And then when Justin Bieber released his album Purpose, which is produced by Skrillex, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I need to figure out electronic sounds. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it went.
Wow. Yeah. Producing your own music. You were doing that at the age of 16. Insane. You know, when it comes to the songwriting and all that you've accomplished so much. And, you know, people look at it in a very short period of time if they turned around and heard how old you are. But you've been doing this mm-hmm. your whole life. And same thing,
yeah.
you know, with your brother. So you've put a lot of heart and soul into this, big time.
Yeah, totally. Like people say, oh my gosh, you've achieved so much for your age. And I go, it's definitely true. And I feel lucky that I'm at the spot that I am at 22. Mm-hmm. But I think like back on it, it doesn't feel like it happened quickly because it's been 10 years since exactly. I decided that I wanted to be an artist. And so, yeah, sometimes I get lost in it and I go, oh, I feel like I'm not making as much progress as I'd like to. But then I look back even over the past couple of years and go, okay, I'm definitely in a different spot than I was then. Mm-hmm. And as long as I'm moving forward, I think that's a good thing.
You got the chops.
Thank you.
And that's a big help when it comes to just the different sounds and just the different approach that you want to take as a storyteller too, right? And that's so refreshing. And to hear mm-hmm. your music is just really cool. What has the songwriting end of it meant to you in your life personally?
I think that the songs, it's funny because when I started and before I started listening to Andrew Allen, I was like, I can't write songs. I'm not going to be a songwriter. I'm going to have people write the songs and I'll just perform. Mm-hmm. And then it's so funny because now I look at it the opposite way. Like everything starts with the songwriting and everything else around that is to support that. Mm-hmm. And what I really feel about that is like what it is the story is the center, right? Mm-hmm. So everything else is there to support the story that I'm trying to tell, the thing that I'm trying to say. So when I'm going into production, it's like, it's not necessarily about the most flashy, complicated production that I can do. It's how can I best support the story and, you know, make the story more clear through the sounds that I'm using. Mm-hmm. And then it's the same thing when I get on stage. It's like, the thing that I'm trying to do is tell a story and have that connect with the audience, because I can feel that energy when I'm on stage of that connection, right? Mm-hmm,
definitely.
And as I'm seeing the faces of people listening to the song, and I can see, you know, that they're relating to it and that it's bringing up some sort of emotion for them, that's where, like, that's what I love the most.
That's the real true beauty. Yeah.
Whether that's on stage or somebody reaching out to me in the comments on social media or via my email, it's like when I hear those stories of how the songs have connected with people, and sometimes it's like totally different than the original topic that I personally wrote the song about, mm-hmm. But it connects to them in a totally different way. I love hearing those stories.
That's the best part of music, because we always can remember exactly where we were in life when we hear a song. We connect right to that song, and we'll have that for the rest of our lives, right? So it's really kind of cool if you've written something and somebody shares that with you. They're always going to remember that for years and years to come, and then their kids and the next generation, because they're going to get introduced to your music too. So real great legacy when you can write a great, great song.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that with music. Like, it's direct access to memories. And, like, I remember every time I hear the song All of Me by John Legend, it takes me back to the summer I went to New York for the first time, because it was, like, the song that I guess had just started listening to at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right after it came out. I don't know what year that was, probably, like, 2013 or something.
Yeah, I
like
think
that.
It was 2012. I think, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it would have been around that time, and I it takes me back to the exact feeling that I had when I was there.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, where do you draw most of your inspiration from? Is it being on the road and meeting people and hearing stories, or is it more from yourself and life experience?
I think it can come through a lot of different channels. I mean, like, I've definitely have songs that have come from very deep within me. And I've drawn inspiration from, you know, experiences that I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I mean, one of my recent songs, Talk, Andrew and I wrote it about a friend of his. He told me this funny story about how he'd been seeing this girl, he for 6 months, but he was going to ask her out. And Andrew was like, well, haven't you been seeing her every day for 6 months? And he's like, yeah, but we haven't talked about it. He's like, you need to do that. He was like, yeah. So anyways, so that's what that song came out of. It was just kind of a funny story that he brought up when we got into a session and we rolled with it. But so yeah, it can definitely come from a lot of different places. I love co-writing for that reason too, because, you know, sometimes the other writers will bring something in that's like sparks something or,
Are you a melody guy or, you know, song title guy? Like, how do you approach?
It can kind of start, however, because I come from all kind of different sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to switch it up, but I think for the most part, I start with like a title.
Right.
Cause I find sometimes if you get into a song and it's going really good, but you don't have that to start, and then you basically finish the whole song, but you still don't have that last line of the chorus that's supposed to be the title. And then it's like, I don't know what it is. And then it's really hard to come up with once you've written the entire song.
It's so true.
So that's why I like to start with it.
Spinning your wheels forever, just trying to make that title fit. And it's just like really tough. Absolutely. Now, you have played and performed on some of the biggest stages here in Canada. What's that been like for you? Because your acting has really opened up some amazing doors. And you've been working with some of your castmates on these stages and bringing that kind of music. And what I love about Backstage, the show that you're on, is it's all real artists, all real dancers. Like, this is everything they see on the show are all real. It's really cool. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I, when I was cast for that show, I didn't have very much acting experience at all. I'd never taken an acting class, and I think done 4 auditions. I had booked one role in a commercial where I was not speaking, and then I was on Backstage.
Wow.
So very new to acting. But the reason that they cast me, at least this is what the producer told me, is that they really were looking for somebody, one, who fit the character type that they were looking for, but mainly they were looking for someone who could play multiple instruments and sing. And do it well. And so that's really what they were looking for when casting that show, is like, what are these skills that we're looking for? And then they had acting coaches on set to help us with, you know,
that
dialogue.
Transition. Yeah,
exactly. But they were looking for artists to begin with. And a lot of the performances on that show, I mean, we would pre-record stuff, but then when they would give us an earpiece and we would sing it live, so that they could record our live take. And a lot of what's in that show is actually just our live performance on the actual set.
That's so cool.
Like, you know, not necessarily pre-recorded.
I absolutely love it because it's such a great way to bring music to fans, you know, all over the world, you know, are able to see this show, and it's an original series, and it is just so much fun to watch. Yeah. That must feel so cool to be able to get up on those stages with your castmates and be able to get up there and bring music to everybody like that.
Yeah, it was really incredible. I mean, the first kind of real tour experience I got was with that, their Big Ticket Summer concert series. And I, that was my first time playing in arenas. And it was interesting because it was something that I obviously had thought about a lot since I'd started. It's been my goal to play Madison Square Garden since I was a kid. Like, that's, you know, I'm still huge. Working towards that. But, yeah, but no, it was really incredible. It really solidified for me that that this is what I wanted, because I actually got to experience what it was like to be on the road on a tour bus and playing shows every night and playing in those big venues. And I was like, yeah, I feel at home, even though I've never been here before.
It's got to be a beautiful thing to be able to bring two loves of your life, acting and music, together. And just, wow, you know, that's, and be playing the stages that you're playing, the venues, and to be able to feel that experience for the very first time, because you're not just going into, you know, a small, like you're kind of doing it backwards, right? You're going onto a big stage as your first experience and not doing the little venues, right?
Well, I mean, I was fortunate. So before that tour, I had been playing small shows for a while. I started performing, like singing and playing guitar. I started at open mics at cafes.
And like, I think 14 years old or something like that when you started that, right?
Yeah. I think I started it before I started writing songs. I would just play covers. And so I was like 12 and I would get up at these open mics and start performing. And I loved that. And I always had a love for performing, and that's why I wanted to do it so much. And then, but yeah, that tour was definitely the first experience of that scale, at venues that size. But I think having that previous experience playing so many shows, like smaller shows, helped me not feel so nervous getting on those big stages, because I was like, I've done this before. Like, it's just, you know, a few more people, but like, it didn't feel like a new experience. Like, it felt like a new experience, but it didn't feel like, you know, something
so overwhelming.
It was scary. Yeah. It wasn't scary. I was like, I feel ready for this.
How did it feel when you went to the Budweiser stage? I was there that day. And when you were performing there and seeing the lineup of fans that were there for hours waiting to get in to see you guys.
It was incredible. I mean, I remember because we had a meet and greet with some of those fans, and I always loved those because you get to actually talk to the fan in person. Like, social media is great and it allows me to connect with people that I would never be able to connect with, like, on the other side of the world. But there's something about meeting these listeners in person and being able to see them and talk to them and get to know them a little bit. That's really cool and really fulfilling.
I understand that completely, because usually I'm backstage and that's where I'm doing my interviews, or on the carpet. So it's totally different, you know, to be doing everything this way. And it's just not the same thing when you get to see somebody in person and actually connect with that person. It's just on a different level. You just can't connect the same way digitally. It just doesn't work.
No, I would agree for sure.
Yeah. So did you expect the kind of success that you got in the lead role as Miles Lennox?
I think the form that it came in was unexpected for sure, because I never saw myself as an actor growing up. Music was always what I wanted and that was my goal, and the acting was kind of just like something that came up and was like, oh, do you want to try this? Like, there's a connection of somebody who's starting out as an agent, and I was like, okay, like, yeah, I might, you know, see if I can get some commercials or whatever. So yeah, it was definitely unexpected in the unexpected in the form that it came in. But mm-hmm. I remember at that age, I was so confident in where I was going. I was like, I just knew 100% that like I would be successful in music.
Nice. That's nice to have that confidence, isn't it? You know, to be able to go yeah. into it and it's just like that fear is just not there. And that
yeah.
gives you that head start.
It's interesting because as I've gotten older, I've gone through periods where I've lost a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. That's normal. Yeah.
And I start to second guess what I'm doing. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, is it, am I good enough to, you know, make it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have to go back and I almost, you know, think back at like, oh, I remember when I was so confident, I need to channel that younger Josh,
mm-hmm.
Who was just absolutely sure, like no second thought whatsoever.
Because when you were getting on those small stages and playing mm-hmm. for people and those open mics and all that, you're doing it because you absolutely loved to sing. And you
yeah,
had
at the
a
end of the
fire.
Day,
yeah, you had a fire under you that just, you know, ignited when it come to being able to translate lyrics and tell that story. And that's what you have to hold on to as your journey goes further into music. Because there's going to be songs that you swear are going to be a hit and your management think is going to be a hit. And it doesn't. Yeah. go anywhere. And it's not that
no,
the song
exactly.
isn't great, it's just the fact that there's only so many slots to put in new singles.
Yeah, 100%. And it always happens when I go and I start looking at numbers. Mm. Numbers are the enemy, because when yeah. I look at numbers, that's when things get so just the perspective gets shifted.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm looking at, okay, I love making music and I think that the music that I make is good.
Mm-hmm.
Then that all kind of goes away. It's like, yeah, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, what I love doing. And that's all I really need. And I don't need to look at those numbers.
Not
at least
all.
I don't need to attach so much power to them. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like, they are a useful tool for some things, especially for my management to look at and go, okay, like, you know, what information can we get from this? But at the end of the day, for me, it's like, I need to not place my personal value mm-hmm. in those numbers, because
it messes with you when you really go to write the next song. Cause you're always like, what
exactly.
did I miss for radio? And if you're writing for radio, it's not going to work. If you're writing from your heart, that's what people are going to connect with. That's what fans
yeah.
are looking for. And
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a journey.
it's just a big journey,
isn't it?
It's a journey, and it's a journey of a lifetime, I would say.
Absolutely.
You know, it's it takes a long time to do it, and that's okay, because I want to be doing this my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I just got there right away, then where's the fun in that?
Exactly, because you have to have, that's what gives us drive. That's what makes us push, you know, to be
yeah.
successful and to conquer, you know, fears and that. And just, you know, your writing is constantly going to be evolving. You're going to be getting better and better and better. And you're
okay.
going to be looking back at this day going, man, I thought that was good. And then, you know, 10
yeah.
years down the line going, man, you know, look where I am now. It's just a learning
totally.
Curve. And it's just 100%. Constantly evolving.
Yeah.
There's some great Canadian talent. When I'm looking at the success stories like yourself, like Wes Mack, too, being an actor and having a very successful, you know, recording contract. And it's just so nice to be able to look at all that's coming out of Canada right now. Is there any advice that you would give young people that want to pursue music or acting?
I would say, like, it's patience is the biggest thing. That's the advice that I would give, because it does take time to build a career. And it's like we were just saying, yeah, just being patient, keep doing what you're doing, be consistent. And it's like hard work in the short term, and then not expecting results in the short term. It's
very like, good advice.
Get all the steps done, you know, focus on one thing at a time, do what you know you can to move yourself forward, even if it's very small steps. And eventually, if those small steps add up over a large amount of time, you'll get where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. And it takes hard work. Yeah.
I have to remind myself of that all the time. I have to, you know, that's advice that I give myself
mm-hmm.
Very, very consistently, because it's easy to forget.
Easy. Oh, man. So easy to forget, isn't it? Okay, so what is the hardest thing for you? I would imagine it's just the songwriting and being able to let your project go and let whatever the fans do with it and whatever they attach to it, let them do it. But I don't know if that's going to be the hardest thing for you being a musician, or is it the travel?
I would say definitely the hardest thing is releasing. Mm. Like making the music is very easy for me. I enjoy it a lot. Performing the music, I love. It's releasing the music that is probably the hardest part, just because that's when you're you know, tempted to look at the numbers and mm-hmm. and how it's doing, and you know, making sure that everything's like set up so that it has the best chance possible. So yeah, but I mean, I was doing that totally on my own for a while, and now I have a really great team that's helping me with my current release. So
nice.
So yeah, I definitely feel better about it.
Teams in place like that, oh boy, you can't even describe what they do every single day, mm-hmm. and what relief that takes off of the artist to be able to go out there and do what they do best. And yeah. Huge, because it's a full-time job when it comes to yes. being able to get out there and releasing music and getting it where it needs to be. And you know, hats off to the team for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's like I can only get so far by myself, mm-hmm. and having, you know, people that really believe in what I'm doing is invaluable.
Absolutely. What has been your favorite moment on stage so far?
That's a really interesting question. It's funny, I played a relatively small show the other day, and it was downtown Vancouver. It was at the Arc'teryx store. It's a clothing store. Mm-hmm. And it's with this company called So Far Sounds that does these little pop-up shows. And people don't know where it's going to be or who's playing. So when show up, they're like, oh, okay, this is who's playing. And so the energy that night was just incredible. I don't know what it was specifically, but
that connection.
It was just,
yeah,
the connection was really there. And I mean, I was able to just kind of talk about the songs, and it's nice sometimes to play those small venues too, because like it's almost like a conversation. Like I'll be saying something and somebody responds, and you know, mm-hmm. we can just banter, and it's great. So yeah, I mean, I definitely felt like I had the crowd in the palm of my hand, and then after the show, it was just great to like talk to everybody and get that instant feedback.
That's nice. And it's a different kind of feeling. And a lot of the bigger artists will tell you is, you know, they can be on these world tours and do these huge stadiums and, you know, just packed and sold out crowds. It's nice to feel that energy and having the fans sing things back to you, but it's so great for them to be able to play these small venues they very rarely get to do. And it's a different kind of connection. It just feels a lot more intimate that you're singing directly to that person. And those stories connect when you're delivering, you know, storytelling songs. It's just, very special.
Yeah. Like I love both. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
I think I will always want to do both. I want to do big shows, and then I'll want to do, smaller shows as well.
Yeah. Those are my favorites. I love the acoustic versions of being able just to go in, strip everything back. And then you hear songs differently than when you're in a stadium.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. I love it, because then the lyrics get to breathe in a different way. Yeah. So just a different kind of connection to some of my favorite songs. So always love those acoustic shows. Now you've teamed up recently with the German duo That's Behavior and the Dutch Star, Arcando. Talk to us about Love Me First.
Yeah, Arcando reached out to me directly because he heard a song that I did with another DJ called If Found. Mm-hmm. I did a song called Love It a few years ago, and he reached out and he's like, I love this song. I have this instrumental, and I'd love for you to sing on it. And I think your vibe would suit what we're looking for. So I listened to the song and immediately was like, or the instrumental that they sent me, and was immediately like, yeah, I love this. I think it's like super catchy and really fun. And I could immediately hear like melodies and stuff to write to. So I had a session booked with my good friend Matthew V. Mm. I said, hey, would you be open to writing the top line with me for this song. And I sent him the track, and he immediately replied with like a voice note of him just like with some melodies over the track, which I loved immediately. Mm-hmm. Especially, I think it was the verse melody that he sang. So then we got together on Zoom, and we wrote the top line, and I loved it right away. And so I recorded it at my studio. I sent the vocals over to the guys, and they really liked it as well. And then they sent me back the final version, which I think they did an amazing job with. And the release is going really well so far. So,
oh yeah, definitely. It's a very, very cool song. And I love the R&B flavor of your vocals in there. It just worked really, really well.
Take another breath. We know the storm is gonna pass. It never lasts. I can see wild dreams are sitting in the past. Let's bring them back. I wanna know where you hide. I wanna see what's behind your tears, your fears. I wanna make it alright. Been with you every time, it's clear I'm here. Baby, you know I stay up all night if I'm not sure that you're good. Cause I wanna treat you right in ways that he never could. And I know you were told that you had to settle for the worst, but I know I can show you what you're worth if you only love me for me.
Yeah, and with these features, it allows me to kind of go outside of what I normally do with my own project. Mm-hmm. It allows me to experiment a bit more with other styles, which is nice.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I thought it would be kind of cool to play both, you know, both songs, mm-hmm. because it just really shows a different side of you. And I absolutely loved it. And it's done in your studio too, which is Post Cube. So very cool.
Yes.
Very, yeah. very cool. Working in your studio has got to be so much fun, being able to put on that hat, that producer hat, and just really play out a different side of your artistry, right?
Yeah, totally. I love, like, my kind of two favorite parts of the artist process is performing, and then I love music production.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk to us about the new release, your brand new single, Dreams. And that's out right now. It's just released. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, this is a song that I've been sitting on for a while. I wrote it right at the beginning of the pandemic and immediately really, really loved it. But it was a bit of a different process for me because it was the start of the pandemic. Everybody was in lockdown. I hadn't figured out the whole Zoom thing yet. So mm-hmm. I sat down on my own and I was like, this is a weird time.
And I kind of hard to get the feedback when you're by yourself, isn't it?
Yeah. And I decided I wanted to write a song about finding the happy moment within, you know, a less than ideal situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the lyrics are what they are, is that really is what inspired it. I wanted the song to be fun. I wanted it to, even though the topic is a little bit deeper and it's more like, if you really pay attention, the overall story is a bit sad, but I wanted the song to feel really good, to feel like a song that people could jam out to in the summer, mm-hmm. and give people that sense of joy, especially in times when, you know,
coming out the other side.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think now is a great time for the release. Even though I've had the song for a while, now that I have, you know, this great team that's helping me out and the fact that it's the beginning of the summer, I mean, I think it's a great kind of summery song, and I'm excited for everybody to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the brand new single, and it's called Dreams by pop artist, singer-songwriter Josh Bogert here on Music's Journey.
You said it's gonna be forever, with your pinky finger wrapped in mine. But it's been 2 years since we were here together, and I feel like I'm just losing time. 'Cause the sunrise feels so cold, and now I'm driving home so slow. But in my dreams, you're still getting ready in my bathroom mirror. In my dreams, you're still holding my hand on my 6 feet. 'Cause I can't believe that you had to go, and I'm all alone until I'm falling back to sleep. 'Cause in my dreams, you're still holding. That night you were standing in the kitchen, and you slowly pressed your lips on mine. I told you I'd never waste a minute, I could never with you by my side. But now the sunrise feels so cold, and now I'm driving home so slow. But in my dreams, you're still getting ready in my bathroom mirror. In my dreams, you're still holding my hand on my 6 feet. 'Cause I can't believe that you had to go, and I'm all alone until I'm falling back to sleep. 'Cause in my dreams, you're still holding.
Still holding, you're still holding, you're still holding, you're still holding.
is the brand new single Dreams by my very special guest, pop artist Josh Bogart. Don't forget you can download Dreams on all your streaming platforms. You can add it and share it on all your playlists. And don't forget you can also request it at your local radio station. Such a great song. Love it.
Thank you.
Is there going to be a music video that you're going to be in the works for Dreams?
Yes, there is a music video already.
Nice.
Yes, and it's a fantastic video directed by my very good friend, Mark Gustav, from Creation Station. And I'm very, very proud of the music video that we put together for this song. I think it really captures the exact feeling that I wanted when I wrote it.
Nice. Is it out now or is it coming?
It is. It's out now.
It is out now. Nice.
Available on YouTube. And yeah, it's up there for everyone to see.
Nice. I'm going to check it out. That's one thing I haven't seen yet. So I'm definitely checking that out. Very cool.
Yeah, go have a look at it.
What shows do you have coming up?
I don't currently have anything booked in. I mean, I was supposed to have some shows in Toronto and then I got COVID.
Oh.
So it's thrown a bit of a wrench into things. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot more shows this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, hopefully around Vancouver as well, around where I'm from. And then, and yeah, I mean, I'm just so excited to be getting back on stage and doing more shows. It's something that I missed for a long time, and I'm sure there'll be lots.
I think it'd be so cool to have a show where you and Andrew Allen were playing together.
It would. I mean, last summer we did a show kind of when things were lifting back up before they came crashing back down. We were at the Harmony Arts Festival. It was Andrew's set, and he said, hey, do you want to come? Because we had just released our song together, mm-hmm. Called My Friends, that was on his album. And he was like, do you want to come sing My Friends with me? And I had a release at the time as well, called Homesick. And he was like, come sing My Friends with me, and then
nice.
You can sing your new song by yourself. And then, so that was really fun to get on stage with him because it was something that we hadn't done before, even though we'd worked so much in the studio together.
Well, you and Andrew are going to have to do that very, very soon. Andrew Allen, he is just so special and doing so much work, you know, when it comes to the two of you working on new music together. That is something pretty special.
I would say, yeah.
What's happening with Backstage? Is there any news on that?
No, Backstage has come and gone. We did two seasons and it was an incredible experience.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think what's great is all of the casts, including myself, are moving on to incredible things. We all have our own projects and you can, you know, check out everybody on social media and see all the cool things that we're all doing. But yeah, it was a great way to kind of open us up to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that I had that opportunity to you know, experience that, and it's led me to being able to do my own thing now, which is super cool.
Nice. Well, I'm sure this is just going to be the tip of the iceberg for you, and everybody can catch Backstage, and that's on Netflix right now, so they can watch it there. So really cool. I watched it I guess it was last week for the first time.
Mm.
And yeah, cool. Really great show. Really good show. Okay. Do you have time for a couple burning questions?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'm going to fire them off at you. What would be your ideal Friday night?
Playing a show, 100%. I mean, it's I feel like we maybe knew that already, but definitely it would be either playing a show or just, you know, hanging out at home and having a glass of wine.
Very nice. Favorite barbecue meal?
Oh, I love burgers.
Do you like good, any kind of different kind of toppings that are interesting or just a regular?
I like trying out new kind of toppings on burgers. I mean, I love anything that's just a good gourmet burger. I love the classics like cheese, bacon. But I'm it depends on what I'm feeling. Sometimes it's like guacamole. Sometimes I'll throw a fried egg on there.
Just never know, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's this really great burger place near where I live called Uli's, and they do like it's got arugula on it, and it's very like strange. Like it's not your normal burger tummy. They make it kind of fancy, but it's this aioli, and then there's like a, I don't know, it's like a purple, I don't even know what it is. It's like this purple cabbage mix thing, and then anyway, it's really good.
Nice. I like it when they it's got to have bacon on it though. Like I'm a bacon girl.
Yeah, I love bacon as well, and I think that one does have bacon. It's not the same
without bacon and cheese, right?
Yeah, or you can add bacon or something. I don't know. Bacon's always an option, and I'm always going to take it if it is.
I hear you on that one. Okay, so favorite artist on the radio today?
J.P. Sachs.
Very cool. Okay, if you could own a guitar by any artist, past or present, whose would it be and why?
Oh, that is a difficult question. I would love to own a Brad Paisley guitar.
Nice. I figured you might say him.
Yeah. He has so many. Like, you see him with a new guitar. Like, I saw him in concert in, like, 2011 or something like that. And he had, I want to say, like, four or five guitars just in the one show that he brought out on stage.
Yeah, he does. So. He's got an awful lot of them. I can't remember how many he has in his studio. It's like a crazy number. Crazy number.
Yeah. So he could spare one, I would think.
Very cool. I think I have Dean Brody's. I have one of Dean Brody's. So that I have.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So what do you do to unwind? Like, do you have trouble unplugging from the world or?
I would say for me, it's working out. I mean, my day to day, I'm a pretty calm person. So a lot of times it's actually me like finding a way to have some more uncontrolled energy. Hmm. So I do CrossFit, and I love it because it's very intense and I can kind of just like let go in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, like I would say, you know, day to day, I'm pretty calm, usually very collected. So yeah, that definitely helps me like release any energy that might be like trapped inside, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's so true. That's always been my calm, other than being able to be out in the water somewhere or shooting wildlife. Oh, yeah. I like to photograph wildlife. So it's just those are the things that I gravitate to. But working out's always so good mentally for you. Really good for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So last question. Best, most useless talent.
Best, most useless talent.
You have so much talent. There's got to be something that you do that's a quirk or something that, you know, the fans would get a kick out of.
When I'm sick and I have to blow my nose, this is kind of gross. When I'm sick and I have to blow my nose, it sounds like a trumpet.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, like I make it sound. It's kind of musical in a way.
See, we can't get you to do that right now because it's just not going to work.
I mean, I could do it right now.
Oh, really? Okay. Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. I've got a tissue right here.
Okay.
There we go.
I think I have that useless talent too. I definitely think I do the same thing.
Yeah, I've heard people, but like my whole family's so confused. They're like, "Why do you do that?" I'm like, "It just does." Like I can't blow my nose without making that sound.
I can't.
Otherwise, it doesn't work.
I know. I can't either. Yeah. We just got to do what we got to do.
There we go.
It is so great. Do you have new music, more new music coming out this year?
I have so much music ready to go. And I will definitely be releasing more of it very soon. I don't have any confirmed dates, but yeah, I will be releasing it, you know, pretty consistently. Maybe working towards an album, kind of toying with the idea. So
very nice. So, yeah. Promise you're going to come back on the show and we can share some more new music with everybody out there.
I would absolutely love that.
Absolutely. Cannot wait to hear anything that you got coming out. Absolute big fan. Love your voice. And congratulations on the new single. And we look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate getting to chat with you.
Oh, I look forward to having you back and kill it out there. Just go out Thank there so and just much. Enjoy your music.
Absolutely. Okay. All right.
Take care. Thank Thanks you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, singer, songwriter, producer, Josh Bogert, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up for the month of June. I'll be interviewing Katie Hurt, Katie Topham, Rob Fitzgerald, High Valley, rock band Taming Sari, Matt Rogers, The East Pointers, Petrick, Kelly Prescott, Quinton Blair, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, Australian trio The Buckleys, Cadence from Runaway Angel, The Prairie State, Emerson Drive, Gil Grand, Ali Walker, Emma Peterson, Simone Fuller, Tyler Joe Miller, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, the new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.